一进来就搞乱片，就马，就，哦，阿杰，body of this creation has been made subservient to man. God, man is considered to be the next to God. When the angels bow down, are to bow down before the man body. To Ruskin, likewise expresses the same truth. He says, there is no wealth but life. We are worship of light, of life. If life is empty, who cares for the man body? If the lamp is, I got no eyes, no wick, no thing, who cares for the lamp? If the bulb is fused, who cares for the bulb? So there is no wealth but life, life including all its powers of love, peace and admiration. The country is the richest, which nourishes the greatest number of noble and happy human beings. The country is the richest. That man is the richest who, having perfected the function of his own life to the utmost, has also the widest helpful influence, both permeating and by means of the possession of the other's life. So such like worship of such men is given up by all scriptures. Naturally, he commands to say, so we have got, so this science, to know oneself, we are spiritual man, we are eternal, never die, man's body has been given the golden opportunity in which we can realize that. So this practical subject is God's spirituality, not only having the labels of one religion or the other, that makes no difference. So Master tells us always, the knowledge of all knowledge is what? To know oneself. The Persian philosophers tell us. We have dwelt physically, of course, and intellectually, and not spiritually. O seekers after God, you have lost Him in the very worldly existence. We are given up, identified with the senses outside. So much so that we have forgotten ourselves, who we are, what we are. So the world religion means what? To bind one back to God. And the word yoga also means the same. Yoga means, comes from the root yuj, means unite. Unite us with God. So fortunately, together do the two dwell in close association in the same abode, in the same body. And strange enough, but as it may seem, the two have never conversed with each other. We are also in the body, and the power which controls us in the body is also there. But strange enough, we have never thought of that. And we go around seeking anywhere else. Kabir said, I went to pay pilgrimage to Makkah. On the way, God met me and rebuked me. Who told you I am there? I am with you. On the very life of you. So all masters tell us like that. They say, you and that God power is both within this man body. And where are you? You are just identified with your world outside. Why don't you withdraw your attention from outside? He is waiting for you within you. So it is hold the feet of attention. This is, attention is what? The drop of the ocean of all attention. You are great in man. You can work wonders. If you put in that attention in your body, you become physically strong. Wrestlers, you know, when you exercise, they put in whole attention to the body. If you put in your attention to the centers of the brain within you, you become intellectual strong. So this is the whole feature of attention, you see. And Master said, look here, you and God both are lying in the same bed. You are sleeping. Awake outside. Why not sleep outside and awake? He's waiting for you. So religion, in fact, what it is, it's a way back to God. That's all. Nothing else. And we have considered to be something else. Religion, in fact, is a way back to God, or a link, linking the soul with God, the old. That religion is blessed in terms of such religion. Pity it is that we have forgotten what our scriptures say. As long as the practical people knew the ideal before them, and they also were competent to give them some demonstration of that, how to know oneself, to know God. For want of them, the same good old custom corrupted itself, as I told you before. And ever since this paid preaching has started in all regions, havoc has been done. Blind leads to blind, and both falls in the ditch. I am not quoting you somewhere else, from the scriptures I am quoting. That are our scriptures. So we are fortunate in the 20th century that we have got scriptures. All masters who came the past so far. So there is hardly now a man to tell us how to rise up above the gods. In all religions you find, they preach outward things, customs, rituals, how to maintain, say prayers, this and that. This is our role to first step. If a man does not remain in any ism, then there will be corruption. So man is a social being, he must remain in some social body. But to remain therein, we should rise above them and see what is the basic teaching of all religions. And basic teaching of all religions is said, what I am quoting you. So spirituality is another name of, I may say, Surya Yoga. What is Surya Yoga, you know? It is just spiritual life consists in peeling off layer by layer the various koshas or sheets, physical, astral, and causal, until it shines forth in its pristine splendor, self-luminosity. God is light, all he is secured is full light. Who sees the full light is the Khalsa, is the true Hindu, is the true Mohammedan, is the true Christian. Then you know, I am soul. I and my father are one. Man has taken the same color of the God. In Sanskrit they say, Tattvam Asi. You see? Brahm Asmi. So, these are the things to be realized. O Nanak, what is say? He is the mouthpiece of God. Such like people, they become the mouthpiece of God. They speak as inspired by God. So, in all things, Guru Nanak says, I do not utter any word except inspired by God. God is I see man. So Mala Rum says, God has given order to the prophet. He says, well, look here, I am so great that all this creation, universes created by are not sufficient to contain me. High heavens, low earth, now also. But strange enough, I contain myself in the heart of a saint. Did you want to seek me, go in there? Where I am manifest. So these are the things, see, that is given to us by all masters before us. So Christ said, I and my Father are one. All the things are delivered to me of my Father. I am in the Father. And I am in the Father. And the Father is in me. The words I speak unto you I speak of not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth your work. What more to say? All of the Master says the same thing. I am the mouthpiece of God. I and my Father are one. I simply speak as inspired by God. They are conscious co-worker of the divine plan. They see that power is working. I am not. I am mere mouthpiece. So it is the fundamental law of God that no one can move Godward without the help of his Sadguru, of the Master. This Guru Ram Das says. As Christ said, nobody can go to the Father except through me. So these are no new things given by one or the other. All Master says the same thing. Mala Rumi says, who are they such like masters? They are the godly souls clothed in human body and come with God's knowledge. They come from unknown places. What to do to take back souls back to God? Yes. Working like that. You know what Christ did say? I have come to separate daughter from the mother, to separate husband from the wife, sisters from the brothers. I have come not to make world happy, but I have come to take all these back home. When he was going down, Swami Master once went to, did not go to the hills. It was very hot season. And nearly every year he wanted to go to the hill station. I was there and just saw him, well, it is very hot here. Would it not be better you go to the hills as usual? He said, if asking people think perhaps I go there to enjoy the cold over there. I simply go, the men from all over India come out there. Those you are seeking, they may be led away. So they come. Dinda Christ said, I have yet many sheep to look after. They come to bring back all children of God to home. But so he remains ever with you whether you live or die. Such a man. If you die, he won't leave you. Christ said, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee till the end of the world. Is it not? Even in the place of lightning, he shall stand by thy side. So all your accounts are transferred from the Lord of Judgment to the Master, who is God in man. So such a one, it is a great blessing to a living Master, who will be with you in this earthly life, and also won't leave you when you leave this man body. You will be young. Who can do so, only take the hem of such a one. So, when you cross over the star, sun, moon, the luminous form of Master, manifested to take charge of the soul and takes it on the higher planes, you see, unless you are born in you cannot enter the kingdom. So this is what I meant when I say, you are on probation. You are led further by that God into special radiant form of the water, meaning you. So as long as spirit does not rise above the body consciousness, he remains stranger to the spiritual realm beyond. That's the first step. Where the world's dust is in, there the religion starts. And that's in a way the same for all. Whether you wear one form, one level, or one religion or the other, that makes no difference. So everything is within the body, nothing without it. He who seeks without wanders in delusion. Those who go to such a Master, they always want to go within you. Our Master, you see, well, why? Take somebody who goes within and take you along with you. So it is a very definite way, inner way. one has been with all masters who came before. So all that we see is great optical illusion. We are identified with the body, you see body is changing, being of matter. All world around us is changing at the same speed. As you are identified with it, we consider it all stationary. When everything changes, when you rise above us, you see the world in its right perspective. So that is why masters all been advising like that. Well, please know yourself, who you are, what you are. So this is the main subject, main, I mean, purpose of coming into the world. Unless we know ourselves, we cannot know God. So, God is world, you see, wordless God when came into being, it is called world. World is the cause of all creation. God is nameless when it came into being, into expression, it is called now. So God is, what is God? It is God is love and God is divine, all divine. So Master is world made flesh. When such masters come, they come with overflowing with the love of God and divinity of God. They come by radiation to all people at large. Those who sit in the field of action of the radiation, they are blessed. So they come, they bring the religion of love and no new religion. So all masters who have come, they gave out the same thing. Christ said, love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. This also, you see, Kabir said the same thing. Tenth Guru, while addressing to all communities, tells them, well, hear ye all, I tell you the truth, but those who love, they alone can know God. So by Saint Paul said, by love one and by love serve one another. One who serves his fellow loves God truly, otherwise not. He says, I love God and does not love the God into creating power working in the world, then how can he say he loves God whom he has not seen? So he prays best who loves best. You know, because love is one-pointed, single-minded pointed attention. With whom you love, that's a single mind. Nothing else interferes with that. When you're loving God, naturally all other thoughts, foreign thoughts don't affect you. A man who loves somebody, he's sitting maybe hundreds of people, but his whole attention is there with whom he loves. So such a man while in the world is in the world yet out of it. He is not of the world. So for that reason, God is love and love is God, and the way back to God is also through love. If God is us in every heart, we are all of the same essence as that of God, then if you want to meet God, what should you do? Should you torment those men? Whom you want, he also is right there. So love knows service and sacrifice. There are greater heinous crimes in the world, heinous sin, one greater than the other. Mawlana Rumi says, you may drink. Drinking is the mother of all evils. That's very sick, great sin. Then there's still more greater sin than that. You burn away all scriptures of the world. Of course, that's a very great sin. Then still more, there's a greater sin than that. Burn all places of worship. then if with all these, they are still more greater than sin. Don't torment anybody. So love knows service and sacrifice. God is love. And naturally, when you come to give this religion of love, love knows service, and also if need be, to sacrifice ourselves for that. Tenth Guru says, those who want to play the game of love, they should lay their hands on their palms and come forward. Who can sacrifice themselves? They can only meet God. We sacrifice God for the sake of the world. One man went to a sadhu. He prayed, you are here gate, you have denounced the world, you are outside the world, like that. We prayed him very much. And he said, look here, you are the great one who has sacrificed God for the world. And we have sacrificed only world for God. Who is the greater man who has denounced the world, naturally? You are. So masters say like that, you see, service. If we love God, naturally, what will happen? Whom we love, we never think of harming him. If he's hungry, you try to share with him. If he's naked, you would like to give him clothes. Even at the sacrifice of your own self. The more you love him, the more you can make sacrifice. And if you love God, can you not make sacrifice for those in which he resides? So truly speaking, those who say he love God and hate the people all around, then he's a liar. There's a parable to go to show in the scriptures or the Puranas of the Hindus. Master speaks sometimes through parables and sometimes straight talk. By parables is given to those who are not very great understanding. But to bring home that all these things they give up. Told the Lord Vishnu invited all gods and goddesses as well as those anti-gods for a banquet. Food was served and they are made to sit, gods in their rows and the anti-gods in another row. When the food was served, Lord Vishnu stood up. Look here, gentlemen, all this is food for you. Eat to your heart's content. But one condition is there, you should not bend your elbow to bring the food in your mouth. How can you bring food to your mouth? Anti-gods considered, but they tell you, Lord Vishnu has played a mockery. They put the food and it doesn't allow us to eat. They left the scene, disgusted. The gods were there, they considered that the word coming out of Lord Vishnu must be some meaning behind it, which you do not know. When considering calmly, they came to know why to bend, why to straight up. So they had gone, all were fed to the utmost. The purpose is, you see, if we want to make us happy, our own self, we must make others happy. Everybody wants to make others happy, naturally everybody is happy. If we won't allow anybody to die of hunger, you won't die of hunger. So love knows service and sacrifice. This is what. So best of all, you see, all these holy places of worship, they are putting some symbols of God in them to be worshipped. You see? These are symbols of God. For in their churches, their temples, their other holy places of worship, they are often made out of model of man body. They put in two symbols of light and sound. God is light and God is meeting of the spheres, nada. Now those are the models, whether it is the church or a temple or any other place, they are all equally situated. They are models made out of the man body. And which is the true body? True temple of God, the man body itself. That was given to outside people for the beginners to know that such like sound is such like music of the spheres elaborating with you. When the master met, they gave them a demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness and open the inner eye to see the light of God, and open the inner ears to hear the voice of God. So God sent man with seals on their eyes and ears. And they come back in the form of manpole and they go and break the eye. Seals of the eyes, they begin to see, then they begin to hear. So that is why Christ said, I have come to make those people see who do not see. And those who see, they may be blind. It is attention only which gives all light outside. So truly speaking, you see, one truth is working in all. Basic teaching of all. This is our narrow-mindedness for want of the truth, not knowing the truth, that all the differences have been made between man and Brahman, high class and low class. God made equal privilege to everybody. He did not make any higher law. Born the same way, same soul, or the same essence as that of God, and the same power of God we worship. So they, when they come to say, well, God, whether you call it maker cow or he is merciful or this and that, these are all go to express that God power which is controlling all creation and we worship him. The man who is living in the true temple of God, which is the man body, he goes to the temples made after the model of man, put in symbols of light and from there. That is for the beginners. But those who already realize this truth within us, they have respect for other things, for the beginners, but it doesn't behove a man in whom that light is effulgent. You see, doesn't already tell them, well, look at this light is within you, you just wake up. So masters, those who are risen above the single body consciousness, they see the truth and give it to the people at large. So man should, for that purpose, what is required? For that purpose required ethical life, life of self-restraint, true living. Our earning should be honest, and our food should be, I mean, pacifying giving. And also character good. So the word religion means apparently to link man with God. That's the ultimate of all yoga. And Guru Arjan gives out very clearly, the highest of all religion is what? To be true, man of true living and know God. No difference what labels he is carrying. That is why among the Hindus, six, the temple, golden temple made, arranged at Amritsar, the headquarters of all Sikhism. You know, foundation stone was laid out by whom? By the Mohammedan saint. When they arrived to that, where is the Hindu or Mohammedan question? The labels don't carry anything. So Guruji, what did he do? He collected as much things of the masters of the past as he could, about 60, 70. And put it all in the six scriptures that we respect all. Those in whom God manifested and they came to awaken the mankind. So what was the purpose? The whole object was to unite all mankind in the silken bond of love and not create schism. We're all one. No scriptures of particular master you'll find in their own books. But six scriptures you'll find they contain about 60, more than 60 saints teaching that, who God loves. So they come to create love within us for God. They are overflowing with the love of God. You might have heard the Moses went to a wilderness, there was one shepherd He was looking after the sheep over there. He was praying, God, oh God. Love knows no love, mind that. Oh God, had you been hungry, I would have given the milk of the sheep to you to drink. Had you felt cold, and I would have taken off the wool of the sheep and made of the cloth to give you to warm yourself. And he went on like that. Then Moses passed by that way. He said, oh, heretic, what are you talking? Does God drink milk? And he was others, quite aback. So, why have disrespected God? Then he began to cry. Why crying? He went within himself and God met him. Look here, I will drink your milk also. I will wear your clothes also. And then Moses went to the inner contact. He said, oh, Moses, you were sent to those, connect those people who are separated from me, not those who are already leaving me, you separated. Go and ask for forgiveness.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. This morning, our reader is Rudy Cascone. Are you there, Rudy?
Yes, I am, John.
Okay, carry on.
Thank you. To continue with the reading as a way to introduce the second part of Master's talk, The Inn of Madness, from the April 1972 Satsang Desh. During the life of Rishi Bhardwaj, a householder by the name of Shonak went to him one day and said, Maharaji, what is that thing knowing which all else is known? And ultimately, Bhardwaj Rishi told Shonak, when you know yourself, you will know everything. Kabir, when speaking of a Hansni, a mythical swan-like bird that once sat in a field of kodrai. Kodrai is a rather inferior grain. The farmer saw the Hansni and started to chase him with a stick. So Kabir observes, this poor farmer does not know that the Hansni never eats grain, but lives on pearls. So masters never come to take from worldly people. Now listen carefully to Kabir Sahib's hymn. In the inn of the body, the jiva traveler is staying. But why so enwrapped in this madness? The body is like an inn, and we are travelers in this world. But for a few days, why get intoxicated with the sense pleasure? In the Puranas, the ancient Hindu scriptures, it is related that the god of food complained to Lord Vishnu and that he was tired of people eating him mercilessly. Lord Vishnu advised him, those people who eat more than they need, well, you eat them up. Overindulgence in food leads to degeneration of the physical organs. Indulge the senses only as much as necessity demands. Do not create gluttony as a habit. If everything is used in a controlled manner, all things will be helping factors instead of doing harm. For instance, there is a certain poison which, when taken in infinitesimal doses, builds up the physical strength like a tonic. But when taken in large doses, it kills. All pleasures of the senses were given for man to work through, but in perfect control. This house or inn was given for only a few days, so that it should be put to the utmost advantage, but we are destroying it fast. There are five senses of knowledge and five senses of commerce. And if only one sense gains control, what happens? A moth, for example, is governed by eyesight to the extent of burning himself to death in the heat of a flame or bright light, fish, on the other hand, are governed by the sense of taste. And although happily swimming about in the water, yet they will rise to the angler's bait, only to be caught on the hook and die in agonies of torment, flapping around on the earth. The large black bumblebee has a very strong sense of smell, and though this easily and through this easily loses his life to a certain tropical flower that has the ability to close its petals over any insect entering within it. The sense of hearing is overpowering in the deer. I do not know if you have spent any time in the forest, but I have seen a deer jump forward as much as 25 yards. Even the fastest horse cannot catch this fleet-footed animal, and yet he is easily caught. Deer hunters play a certain tune on a special drum, hearing which the deer is drawn helplessly towards it in ecstasy of that sound until he quietly lays his head down upon the drum and, of course, is captured. He spends the rest of his life imprisoned in captivity. In the male elephant, the sense of touch is very strong. Even though he has the strength to uproot huge trees with his trunk. I once lived in the jungle for 4 or 5 months and saw how they prepared to catch the elephant by digging a large pit and covering it with leaves and then placing a female elephant nearby. When the male scents the female, he loses all caution and rushes towards her and falls into the pit which lies in his path. He is then starved for many days until it is possible for men to handle him and remove him. He then spends his life in captivity. So you can see that when even a single sense out of the five is ruling, it can bring death or slavery. What then is the condition of a being who is slave to all five senses? Your whole life is being wasted, and finally you will be withdrawn from the world. You have to leave this body. Even if you have no knowledge of when that time will come, the great emperors, the learned intellectuals, famous philosophers, and even God-realized people, where are those bodies of all these persons now? They have all left the scene of action, and we must also leave sometime. There is no exception to the rule. If only the thought remained uppermost in the mind, who am I? Where am I going? This would change the very pattern of our life. Just think for a moment. If you receive a notice to tell you that you had to leave town tomorrow, how would you spend today? Would you not prepare yourself to leave? The time for leaving the body may already be fixed, but it is not known to you. It may come at any time. Kabir Sahib says, become virtuous. Repeat the Naam. Tomorrow may never come. What to speak of tomorrow? We have no guarantee of the very next minute. The breath continues to return to the body and the man remains there. But if it does not come back, try to see what is sustaining it, for alone it is just a mound of matter that we carry everywhere. The friend, the body, is enlivened as long as the companion, the soul, is there. When the companion leaves, it is worthless matter. When the soul leaves the body, four brothers pick up the inert form in a hurry and rush it to the cremation ground. No one wants to keep it for long, but those with right understanding see the facts in true perspective. It is no new philosophy. Those who made the best use of the human birth and freed the soul from the rule of mind and senses gain knowledge of the self and also experience the Lord. And for them, there is no return to this world of action. But coming and going is not finished for those who live only and always at the sense level, whether their actions be good or bad. Lord Krishna says in the Gita that there are only two paths, Pitriyan Panth and Deviyan Panth. Pitriyan Panth is the path of the karmic wheel, and the soul which travels it cannot get off this wheel. But the soul which travels the Deviyan Panth, the path of light, never returns. It is the custom of the Sanatan sect of the Hindu religion to light a lamp and put it in the hand of a dying person, for it is believed that the soul will not otherwise gain salvation. But in fact, this light should be lit while living, the inner light, for only then can the soul become free from the births and deaths. Where is this light? The light is effulgent in he who controls the ten senses. The light is already within all men, but one must separate from the senses to see it. There is no need to create it, therefore just invert. You can say to turn the face inwardly, or by self-analysis rise above the senses. Kabir Sahib says, why remain intoxicated in this inn of the body? It is common sense to see that for the soul who sees at the level of mind and senses and has become the image of the body, and therefore is doing all practices at the same level, how can it be possible to rise above the body, mind, and senses? If anyone thinks he can do it, he's welcome to try. After all, what does a blind man desire? Just two eyes. But if you cannot do it, admit the fact and go to seek help from someone who knows the science of rising above body consciousness. Such a master soul may give a sitting to 10 people or 50 or 100 or more, but by his single fraction of attention, everyone will receive light. The proof of life will be seen with one's own vision. So the path of saints is called the reverse path, for they teach the seekers how to invert the senses. When you meet the Satguru, inversion starts. Dying while living will unravel it. When the soul inverts, the body becomes lifeless. He who dies while living becomes the one who experiences the Lord. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. Maulana Rumi says that if you desire to have everlasting life, then learn to die while living. Dadu Sahib says, Dadu, die before. Everyone dies when the time comes. All masters have made similar statements on the same subject. That person who has unraveled the mystery of life has no fear of death. Die you must, so why not now? Stand aloof from the world. Such a death, one can die 100 times a day. To be able to rise above at will eases all fear of death. You are a guest in this inn of the body for a few days only. Do not lose yourself in the madness of the senses and sense enjoyments. Do not forget yourself entirely in this outer madness, but try to reach the aim for which the human birth was given. If this opportunity to do the real work is wasted, then who knows when you will be given another. Rest for the night. Leave in the morning. It is a place where you can spend the night, but when daylight comes, you have to leave. Who stays permanently at an inn? Return to your own place, brother. Why live in a strange country? Do your own work and ignore alien affairs. This is not your country. You merely have connection with the physical form for a few days and will soon have to leave. It can never be your permanent place. But where will you go? Have you ever thought about that? The house you must leave is tied in your mind. There is never a thought for your permanent home. You have imprisoned yourself in this environment, in its environments, and you have given it the status of a god. The true home has been completely forgotten. Who can say you are intelligent? Perhaps you are learned through books, but masters say that one who does not realize his transient condition and has no knowledge of his real destination is either a fool or an ignorant child. When a spiritual person is also learned in outer knowledge, he wears this like a garland of flowers and uses it to explain the truth in a variety of ways. For instance, when Keshab Chandra Sen went to Sri Ramakrishna, the latter said, "If you want to understand the teachings in one word, then listen to me. If you would prefer to learn it through many words, then go to Vivekananda." It is important that the mind should fully understand and be satisfied, for true spiritual experience can be had only when the senses, mind, and intellect are perfectly stilled. Nothing can be experienced while one is scattered at the sense level, whether it be in enjoyments or in intellectual expansion. We should make the best use of the intellect of our own or another's understanding. But remember that reasoning can be the help and it can also be a bar. Through reason, we can come to the point of accepting that God does exist. But having done that, why not realize him? And for that, the intellect then must be stilled. Everyone must leave the physical form, and that includes you. One master says, "Where have the parents gone who gave you birth? You have no knowledge of their whereabouts. The facts are clearly evident, but the world's grease has covered you like a greasy cloth which does not retain water on its surface. We read books and scriptures, listen to numerous lectures, but the truth penetrates neither mind nor heart, that we must also leave the world. Those who know they must go, why worry and scheme? Why increase the worries and troubles more than necessary when we all must leave this place one day? If you knew you had to leave the world at the end of this day, how would you spend it?" A certain master advises, "Spend each day thinking it is your last on earth." If this advice was rigidly followed, a person's life would be transformed. We go deeper into forgetfulness because we do not remember death. Death is no bugbear, but is the name given to a change, or you can call it a transfer. That person can truly be termed intelligent who prepares for this event. How wisely we start preparing ahead of time for some worldly event, like a marriage or an examination, etc. The change of death can also be called an examination, which lies ahead of us, but we do not know the date. We do nothing to prepare for this. Wherever the attention is, so do we go and reside. If one comes above the sense enjoyments and rises above the body consciousness, our coming and going and births and deaths will cease. Otherwise, good and bad karmas are both binding like gold and iron shackles. This is written in the Gita. On the path of Pithriyan, the coming and going continues, but the path of light starts above the senses. Inside, there are only two guides, light and sound, and they start when one rises above the senses. Where the world philosophies end, their religion starts. You can also say the ABC of spirituality starts from here. You will meet very few masters who have knowledge of this. If only those who teach customs and rituals would also teach the true meaning or basis behind them, there would be love and harmony among men. We must love God. And as God is in each being, we must love all. If all men sincerely took this up as a principle, where would be the conflict? If each one had first-hand knowledge of the soul, and that the soul is the same in all, would we not respect each other? Tulsi Sahib, the guru, says, "The guru who bows down to the disciple is called a sadhu. The guru whose eye is open sees the Lord in each individual. However, he whose eye is not open cannot be blamed for not paying his respect to the Lord in others." But what is happening today? Gurus stand proud and erect, and the disciple goes on bowing down in all faith. The master is trying to help us understand that the time is now. It is night, and we are staying at an inn. In the morning, we must leave. And what have we accomplished to the present? Man has achieved so much intellectually and physically, but what has he done for himself spiritually? We know little or nothing about the truth or about our true self. After all, material success is achieved and sustained through you, and you will have to leave it one day. If you leave the body without solving the mystery of life, it will result in only paying the karmic debts of ignorance. The worldly people will help and respect you only out of their own selfish desires, even if one person may have all sincere sympathies and fine qualities. What can he do to help you when you have to leave? He can only stand and pray, "O Lord, have mercy on this soul." At such a time, only a God-realized soul can be of help to you. O Nanak, break from undeveloped company and seek the realized soul. They will leave you while living, but even after death, he will never leave. Worldly companions cannot be with you always, so why not seek one who will be a constant companion? And who is that? He is what is known as a master sant, etc. A sant is not necessarily he who is seen in a particular garb, but rather is he who has realized the truth and has become the mouthpiece of the truth. Whoever goes to such a soul will on the first day gain some experience in the science of rising above body consciousness, and will learn how to increase this daily so that the soul might leave the body at will, even 100 times daily. All fear of death will be removed. And remember this, the truly realized person will never teach you outer practices, but will recommend that whatever you have been doing up to now should be made full use of by going ahead. Salvation can only be achieved by rising above. Put your attention on that higher place where even Shiva is meditating. That higher place lies above the senses, where it is said the Lord Shiva is meditating. This is why the inner third eye is sometimes called the Shiv Netra, Shiva's eye. Its position in the body is behind and between the physical eyes, but above the senses. If one's full attention can be concentrated there while living, then the soul becomes free from the wheel of life. With a little right understanding, one can soon see that this life was not merely meant for eating, drinking, and gratifying all desires and passions. It has a far nobler purpose, and those who do nothing to accomplish this purpose, in truth, waste their lives. This pure, priceless bodily gown you have dirtied, spot upon spot. It is a priceless gift, this human form, king of all species. It is written in the Quran that when the human being was made, the angels were ordered to bow down before that form. It is the temple of the Lord. Keep it pure and clean. This body is the temple of God, wherein God dwells, wherein dwells the light of truth. We keep the outer temples in spotless condition. But what happens to the inner temple? We may spend thousands of toilet requisites and beauty treatments, but inwardly the human form is filled with filthy passions of the senses. Even a dog sweeps the ground with his tail before sitting. And even for an insignificant caller, one will quickly tidy up the home. And yet we want the emperor of all existence to manifest in our heart. Can he manifest in a dirty heart? Inside, we are black with deeds, outwardly fair and attractive, yet we wish to copy the pure and chaste one. The enjoyments and passions have blackened our hearts. We are filled with jealousy, greed, anger, lust, backbiting, and more. To all outer appearances, however, we are pure and clean and make a grand show by copying the God-realized person. If you cover a dunghill with silk, will it issue forth a sweet fragrance? Nature says no. If you cover a block of ice with a thick blanket, it will still give off its coolness. We have the human form in which we can realize God, but we are daily soiling our lives with more and more spots. Even the dirt alone will eat away the texture. An ethical life is the most important stepping stone towards spirituality. Certain disciplines of the Hindus called Yama and Niyama were made for this, as was also the Eightfold Path of Buddha, the four fasts of the Jains, and Christ's Sermon on the Mount. O Nanak, take the name of the Lord with the heart when the heart is pure. You are trying to absorb the lies of the world. His name should not be on your tongue if you have a dagger in your pocket with which to kill someone. You may deceive the whole world, but can you deceive the Lord? Even for the world, the cat will be out of the bag sooner or later, for one cannot hide a lie forever, and in the end, it will come out into the open. Why light this worldly fire for only 2 days of life? Why waste the only 2 days of life in the fire of enjoyments? Soon you must leave it all behind. And why were you given this life? Life is duty. Life is love. Life is the holy gift of God. Anger, envy arose in the heart of a man like a serpent. These ugly things reside in the heart, but the soul is the image of love, for God is love. And he can be realized only through love. The purpose of all outer practices is to develop devotion, to incite interest, and to establish regularity. It is part of the soul's innate nature to attach itself to something. But unfortunately, whatever it attaches itself results in misfit. The soul is conscious. And if consciousness is to enjoy peace and happiness, it must attach itself to some higher consciousness. If it gains some brief enjoyment through attaching itself to matter, it does not mean that matter is that the matter is responsible for that. It is but a reflection of the soul's unhappy nature, a reflection of consciousness. While the attention is focused on a certain thing, it will go on enjoying. But when the attention is withdrawn, the enjoyment ceases. Is this not true? If this conscious entity, the soul, would rejoin the greater consciousness, the oversoul, become fully charged and come into expression, all happiness will manifest in the whole being. But we do not enter that place where the happiness lies. Instead, we spend all our lives searching in every other direction, north, south, east, west. Al-Hazur used to say that we are like the weaver's shuttle, which goes back and forth. We should have respect for all holy places, but why were they made? They are there for the health of the soul. If one's physical body is sick, people say, go to the hills and recuperate. A few months' carefree relaxation in the high altitude and fresh, clean air is very beneficial and health-giving. So the holy places had an ideal purpose to strengthen the soul by allowing it to withdraw from all the worldly affairs, leaving all worries behind, and sitting at the feet of some realized soul. This was the true purpose of the holy place. But today, we have made them into holiday resorts and have started our worldly enjoyments there also. I have been to Hardwar, a famous place of pilgrimage on the river Ganges, many times. Once a large number of satsangis gathered and requested a satsang to be held. When the satsang started, I said, "Brothers, this place is very precious because many great rishis, munis, and mahatmas have visited here at one time or another. Guru Nanak came. Also, Guru Amar Das visited here off and on over a period of 70 years. It is therefore a most auspicious site. But what have we done to it? One travels towards the town from the railway station. One sees two cinema halls." And a man stood up and corrected me. "No, Maharaj, there are now three. Now tell me, is this the fault of the holy place? Consider why they were built. Was it due to thousands of countries' population flocking there? No. The holy places became holy because a certain one or more realized soul placed their holy feet there. Millions of people have been born in Jerusalem, but today it is held holy by the whole of Christendom due to one man, Jesus Christ. The greatness of each place of pilgrimage can be accredited to at least some realized soul. Now, what has more value, the realized soul or the place that became known because of him? We do become devotees of holy books, but we do not want that which the books recommend. We decorate our houses with photographs of pictures of certain masters and surround them with artificial flowers, etc. But we have no respect for a living master. When the masters come to the world, we call them atheists or madmen. Many masters have been treated like this during their lifetime. But after they leave the world, we start worshiping the very ground they place their feet upon. So very lovingly, the Master is helping us to understand that the body is ours for a few days only, and eventually we must leave it behind. God is love. The soul is of the same essence as He, and is therefore also love. A true human being is one in whom love exists and is expressed. How can a man be truly human if he does not express love? He should have been the very epitome of love. He should have loved the Lord and the Lord in all beings, but instead he became like a black cobra. Do you know what happens when a cobra strikes? The place that he strikes upon starts burning. It's very poisonous. A wound from a sword, for instance, can heal within 10 or 15 days, but the wound from the human tongue never heals. When I visited the West, some people asked, how can we stem the danger of atomic war? I told them, by living up to what your scriptures say. And what do the scriptures tell us? They tell us to love the Lord, and as the Lord is in each being, to love everyone. Thank you very much. This ends the talk.
Thank you, Rudy, for the wonderful talk. Excuse me a minute. I'll do a count. So today we had 70 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.